got mail.
Hi, I'm Millie Tamara.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can literally do anything else with your time.
Anything else, like signing up for our Patreon.
Yeah.
Because if you like what you hear today and you want to hear more, we do have a Patreon with a Discord community, more content weekly, and access to our spinoff series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. You heard an example of a search history last week when we re-released our Kony 2012 episode. And this week, I went deeper into a viral story of the Big Law Biter, which is a law student who has gone viral for biting people.
Literally, that's it.
That's it?
And me and Elise asked the philosophical question, What is happening everywhere? also, on Discord, we are happy to announce that we officially started a Grass Nation book club.
We
have a fan, Charlotte, from Toronto, Canada, moderating it. And we are currently deciding on what book to read. The two options right now are Little Bosses Everywhere, How the Pyramid Scheme Shaped America by Bridget Reed, and another one pitched by
Elise. I submitted this one. This is my suggestion.
Girl on Girl, How Pop Culture Turned a Generation of Women Against Themselves.
It's by Sophie Gilbert, and I literally just like saw it advertised to me. I can't even remember where, and immediately impulse bought it. And then we started the book club, and I was like, I mean, I already have this book that I haven't started that looks pretty good. So.
Yeah. So if you want to vote on those two, if you have a fiction or nonfiction book that you want to read as a group and chat about it on our Discord, or if you just want to vote, you make your voice heard, Grass Nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's on there. It's on our Discord.
You do need to be a $10 patron to be in our Discord, though.
Five. And a $5 and $10 and five. Patron. So as long as you join our Patreon, you can access and talk to us about books.
Okay, and don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love your reviews. We need more of them. But the best review you can give us is to tag us in a little post, tell your friends, let the world know what we're doing here on the pod. We will repost anything you send us. We're always online.
We're always online. And speaking of online, you know that this year we launched our Go Touch Grass Pivot to Video. We will be having full episodes of our podcast uploaded for your viewing pleasure. Audio will always be out on Wednesdays, but Saturdays is when our videos come out. Go enjoy us there as well. Leave us a nice comment. We need those nice comments.
Mm-hmm. We need nice comments on YouTube. Guys, speaking of things you're going to enjoy.
Yes.
We have a guest in studio today that I am so excited about. She is a hilarious comedian and content creator, non-derogatory, and member of my UCB character team, The Roster. Please welcome into your ears, Sibel DeMar!
Wow.
Welcome.
Welcome,
Sibel. We are so excited.
Thank you. That was so fun to watch you guys do. I just learned a lot.
Yeah, we have the intro locked and loaded, I would say.
Locked and loaded. I still like to look at it just to make sure. But,
I love it.
You know?
Yeah. I'm like subscribing to everything you just mentioned.
Okay,
get in the book club.
And then press
get
mute.
Get in the book club.
And just, yeah, I'll get in the book club. Yes. I'm like, even if you press mute, and just let YouTube roll. Sibel, you've built a great audience for yourself on TikTok, doing a ton of characters and impressions. Some are just one-off videos of things that you do, like that one kid series. And
That's a series.
Okay, that one kid. Okay.
I wrote this question, so now I'm
so what are you
realizing that. Yeah, well, I'm just realizing that I maybe wrote it in a confusing way for you. I'm sorry.
Yes. Okay, so you do one-off videos, and then you have a series. And again, we talk a lot about how on TikTok, they want creators to do like the same thing over and over again. So I guess the question is, how do you balance bringing new characters and doing what people like? Not one-offs like that one kid. Tell us about what that one kid is.
That one kid is a series. A one-off is...
Yeah, that one kid...
I wrote this in a very confusing way. Guys, what I was trying to communicate when I wrote the doc is that Sibel has a series called That One Kid. It's a character that she performs often. She also
she can
sometimes
add, that she can talk about
does
now.
One-off videos, and those are two separate formats.
Yes.
That's what I was
wow.
trying to say.
Yeah, no, you nailed it. It is confusing. Yeah, so you know, I totally agree with you guys. I think that's a great question because TikTok does
it's a great
totally
question,
thank
it's
you.
It's a great confusing.
Thank you. We finally got
it.
I feel like
I cleared it up. I feel like I got it. I got there.
Honestly, I was incredibly
impressed. You wrote it that confusing.
I was nervous. I was nervous that I got in my own head about my ability to write the question. No. And I thought that I
did. We will let you guess yourself. Yeah, we will let you answer.
We'll let you answer eventually.
But we just said that Elise did a good job.
I got nervous.
I'm very happy to have you here, Sibel.
Sibel,
now tell us, okay. You said it was a good question, and I just wanted to name that it was a good question.
Thank you.
It is a good question because I think like TikTok does like pigeonhole people. I noticed that like right off the bat, and that's one of the things that I, you know, wanted to avoid. But I think that part of the issue, like when you have a very popular character, for example, okay, so like that one kid was not how my TikTok grew. Like I didn't grow to that following with that one kid. Mm-hmm. Actually, that one kid grew me a lot more on Instagram. It's like I have two.
But
kind
what
of
is
worlds.
That one kid?
That one kid that one kid is a kid character that I did. So there was a trend a while ago that everybody was doing where it's like the kid in the pool, you know, like the Martha Washington hair or the George Washington hair and like the kid with the goggles and like, hey, will you be my friend type thing. And I took that trend and I kind of elevated a little bit and like my game in the spinoff. Cause you know, when you jump on a trend, you kind of want to add that extra little element. Like, what's different?
And we're getting into comedy theory and comedy philosophy, people. So listen,
comedy philosophy.
Yes. So,
the thing that's funny about yours.
The game. So the spin, what was your spin?
So, my little spin to add that extra little flair so I wasn't just doing what everyone else was doing because you want to stand out was. This kid has a very traumatic life while his parents are going through a divorce. And all of his like divorce family trauma tea is like coming out through what he's sharing with strangers. Like the way that kids just like blab at you about what's going on. And they're like, yeah, you know, like this is really cool. Like it reminds me of the time that, you know, my dad did X, Y, and Z. And it's like really disconcerting. And you're like, did you just say that? But the kid is totally unfazed by it.
Because they don't know what's not normal.
Like your life is horrible. And I honestly draw a lot from my experience as a child. Had a, you know, kind of rough go of it as a kid, but we won't get into that. So it's like,
no, let's get into it. Let's get into it now. And we don't.
And that's what I ultimately wanted to get to with this question.
What is your trauma? What is your trauma?
I'm going to do Drew Barrymore and sit on your lap and be like, no, answer the question.
Oh my God. And like, just like hold me and like try to make me cry. You cry before I cry. Yeah, even though it's my trauma.
I am a Cancer and I'm on my period.
Cancer? When's your birthday?
July 21st.
July 16th. My best friend.
You're true Cancer.
I'm like right in the heart of it.
So you're even worse than me.
I'm much worse.
I have Leo tendencies, but
I'm
you're just hardcore.
Emotional. Yeah, I'm hardcore. But I'm also like, actually, I have a Virgo like presenting thing.
Terrible.
So I'm kind of like, I am okay. Everything's fine. I'm organized. We'll get into that later. But the point of the question.
So your trauma about kids.
Trauma. This kid is traumatized, but he's like really funny about it. He has such a positive attitude. It's one of my favorite things. We talk about this in our rehearsals. A positive character in a negative environment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What does that do to comedy? It opens up like a whole world because nobody wants to just see like a kid being sad about terrible life, obviously. But an interesting thing is like, you know, oh, this is going on, but it's really not affecting this character in the same way. This character's processing it. This character's learning a lot. This character is finding the silver linings and the people that are interacting with this character are getting like a lot of information. So for whatever reason, this whole series like took off and I just like started turning it into more and more and more. And then like people were just like more of this, more of this. And my following was growing. So I was like, OK, I have to keep doing this. And I do love it. Like I love the series, but I try really hard to like sprinkle in other things when I have time, which my time is now very limited. So it's hard. But like, you know, the characters we do at our shows, open online, like different impressions, trends. Like I love hopping on trends and trying to just like be more myself because at the end of the day on Instagram, people like forget that I'm not actually like a 9-year-old boy.
Yeah, no, people want the thing all the time.
I'm like, that's really not like, you know, what
you're
I
a human
actually
being.
Am.
Yeah.
I'm actually an adult woman.
I'm an adult woman. This is weird.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I mean, not to get into the trauma, but it's interesting that you have this character that is kind of based on your life. You get to perform it a lot. And I'm sure it is very healing.
It is.
And that it resonates with so many people. Like,
yeah, it is actually. And it does. And like, I have gotten so many messages from people where like, you know, Your videos make my day. Our family watches them all together. Your videos remind me of my children. They message and they're like, you know, like you being uniquely this kid and being so like likable in this instance is showing my own kids that their uniqueness is not something to shy away from. And they're, it's just really beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow, Lady Gaga born this way.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's, yeah. I mean, it is nice. It is really nice. And that's the goal. I mean, the goal is to make people feel good.
Exactly. So, okay, here's one more question for you before we get into what is going to be like a whirlwind episode of
it's
topics.
It's going to be a
crazy ride. We got you for a really good one.
So I'm so excited.
Yeah, you're going to be whoa.
And you are going to be whoa because you told me when I booked you that you described yourself as, I wrote it specifically down, the most offline content creator alive.
Yes.
So, okay, please elaborate on your offline-ness. Like, how do you just post, look at the comments, be like, wow, everyone loves me, and then you get out of there?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Basically. So, like, I did not do online stuff for a really long time, and I don't want to, like, you know, age myself right now, but honestly, like, I didn't have Instagram till like, college.
I feel like that's where everyone...
I know, but, like...
I feel like everyone used Instagram in college and everyone used... Sorry.
Well, people who are younger than us used it at a different time.
No, I just... I mean, but, like, my friends... No, in high school, everybody had Instagram. I was just not about it. I didn't know how to do it.
So then how are you aging yourself?
I don't know. I just, like... I just... The point of it is, like, I just felt late to the game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, everybody had been doing it for so long, and I was, like... I always wanted to make content, but I never really started. And I had so many ideas in college. So if I had actually done it, I'd be like much further along. But who cares? So the point
is,
like,
we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. But like, I am not online when I'm not posting. So I'm terrible at you know, keeping up with trends right now. I'm terrible about like pop culture and stuff. Like my friends are the ones. Really, it's my community that keeps me informed. Like they send me things, they send me ideas, they send me topics, and I love that. So don't stop doing that.
Oh, so your commenters say like, here's a trend that would be good at.
Yeah, they DM me requests. They're like, please do this and do it with this character. Like they do specific requests.
That's really great.
And
that's
love
that. Like our community too.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we hopped on to do
a Coldplay episode.
I know we tried to take a week off and then people were like, we want to hear you talk about the Coldplay thing. And we're like, well, first of all, we also want to.
I also
want to talk about it. And we were like,
I know about that one. That was like, you have to be like,
hold on, because we're going to talk about that later. We want to get to you.
Okay.
But so your community chimes in and then you get to curate. I mean, I think that's great because I'm like, wait, how does that work if you're offline, but also you hop on trends, but it's like your community's doing that work for you. That's freaking great.
They're like my marketing team. They're amazing.
You cracked it. You don't have to get into the weeds.
I know. That's a beautiful way to be able to use Instagram, which is to just like go and be like, I made something for you. And then like,
yeah. And that's fun is like delivering it to them and being like, this one, you know, sometimes I'll tag them and I'll be like, thanks for the idea, so and so.
That's so
cute.
And they
love that.
Yeah. Everyone wants a shout out. We're all working together in this thing. Oh, that's great. And you know what? Like, as much as we complain about social media and we'll complain about social media, social media is social. It is community and it is where everyone goes and interacts with each other. And I think that's really cool. On the same side, I'm sure it like gets annoying because people maybe feel like if you're not doing something or whatever, they feel frustrated. But we'll talk about the good stuff.
Okay. We're going to get into so much that I feel like relates back to what we've been talking about.
Yes. So thank you, Sabelle. We're going to start our show with two software updates, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first software update, if you recall from our episode from, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, titled, Is This App Haram? With Salma Hindi, we talked about the T app. And the T app basically is an app for women only to warn women about men who are potential dating red flags. So they're cheaters. A lot of times it's about domestic violence, emotional abuse, manipulation, all of that stuff. So when we talked about it 2 weeks ago, we talked about how that app had reached a Muslim American community in Dearborn, Michigan, and kind of their reaction to it online. And, you know, there are men on there talking about how they wanted to escalate it to the mayor. Women were discussing like,
Mr. Mayor, shut down this app, Mr. Mayor.
I feel like if Eric Adams was on the T app, he would shut down.
And Eric Adams should be on the T app.
Well, I have the T app. I got the T app. And Diddy's on there. So, and he has a lot of red flags. So yeah. Eric Adams probably is on there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
I would say there's a lot of red flags.
There's a lot of red flags with Diddy. Yeah. So, hot take. You're like, what is this show? So,
no,
okay.
I love it.
Two updates, right? So, first of all, I got to say, we've gotten a lot of really great comments recently. And people are like, thank you guys for keeping us updated, keeping us in the know, keeping us updated. I got to fucking tell you, and this has happened more than once, so I feel like we are, I can claim this, we aren't even keeping you updated, we're keeping you ahead
yep.
of the curve.
We
because
are.
After our fucking thing, the New York Times did an article about the T app mm-hmm. weeks after we did. After Go Touch Grass. So, breaking news. Anyway, okay, two updates, right? The app took off even more crazy than since we've
yeah.
covered it. So this is an excerpt from the New York Times. Last week, Thursday, T reported, quote, a massive surge in growth, saying on Instagram that
the
more than...
Go Touch Grass Bump. That's
oh,
the
go touch
grass
bump.
Bump.
There you go. I would love if 2 million... More than 2 million people, users in the past few days asked to join the app. That's not visiting, that's asked to join the app in last week. And it was listed as the top free app in Apple's download charts and was also highly ranked in the Google Play Store. Of course, we know people Google Play, they're ahead of the curve too. Anyway, so it went so crazy. That's an Android joke for you guys. So with it exploding, critics and a lot of men, especially users on a cursed website called 4chan, is an anonymous message board mm-hmm. known for spreading hateful content. They were all calling for the site to be hacked. This needs to be hacked. This is unfair. This is bullshit. This is bullshit. That was on Thursday. They put the initial, like, let's hack the T app. On Friday, a data breach of a legacy storage system holding data for users who signed up before February 2024 was hacked, and it detected unauthorized access to about 72,000 images, including 13,000 selfies and images of identification documents, which the company solicited to verify that users are women.
Right, because you have to, like, send in your, like, ID and stuff to verify who you are.
So it's the people using the app.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Ooh.
I looked it up, right? So basically, the T app says that when they first started, in compliance with cyberbullying laws, right, you have to, and I think even Facebook does this. A lot of places do this where if you make an account, you have to take a selfie and you have to take a picture of your ID to be like, one, I'm a real person, and two, like, it's one person account, like it's linked or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I'm the person. I like, yeah, yeah. yeah. It was one consistent person who owns.
So somebody can't make like 50 fake profiles either. And also that verifying that you're a woman, also whatever, right? They used to do that. Before 2024, they had that and they would save the pictures of the ID. Now they don't do that anymore. They just make you take a selfie and they verify based off the selfie. But the hackers, that's the old data system. This app has been open since 2023. Everyone who joined before 2024, which is, I would say, a very small percentage. If they're getting 2 million new users signing up last Thursday, then people who signed up over a year and a half ago, like,
interesting.
It's a small number, but that's what they could hack.
That's really good to know, because when I was first hearing about this, I was really like, well, that's crazy that they were storing all these new people's data in like such an insecure way. But now that I know
sense.
That it's actually really old data, I mean, they probably should have put a better lock on it,
yeah.
but it's like, it feels a little different to me not knowing that it's like these new people.
Well, exactly. That's why I wanted to clarify this, because the chatter online is, you know, oh, this is why women shouldn't sign up for it. This is a data breach. This is unsafe. It's unsafe for men and women. There was like a picture with a map of supposedly everyone's like face that and everyone's ID and all this shit, which I don't know, but like, it's actually not as unsafe as the like people are purporting it to be, because again, the majority, I would say, of users just started within the past month. We're in July 2025, and this is from people before February 2024. Like, I feel like a big majority of people are fine, but it wasn't framed like that online. So I did want to clarify. And there's also something to be said about this app that's created to keep women safe getting hacked and yeah. their information being put out there. It's like, are you proving your point? What's going on? So I want to open up and hear you guys' reaction to that.
I guess, okay, my initial feeling is I do feel differently knowing that it's not like, I thought that like all of the data of yeah. everyone had been found or what, like, you know, had been breached. But I mean, I do think that when you're storing people's IDs and you have an app that is like, not, I don't want to say courting controversy because I think it like is, it exists for a good reason, but one that you can expect will potentially get negative attention from the exact type of people who would maybe try to hack you, yeah. like be legit with people's IDs, I think is a valid criticism of the company. But I was seeing people being like, like, this was all a setup. T knew the entire time. No. They've exposed these women on purpose. No. I feel a little differently about that.
And I will say, like, even though they did this data breach, one, they're not able to link the IDs with the profile. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, even though this data breach came out and they did publicize some of the shit that was on the T app, there's not like, here's Millie Tamaris, here's everything. This is her alias and here's everything she posted. No, that's not what's happening. They just posted, like, these guys hacked random, like, IDs that were being stored from before. It still sucks, whatever, but I'm also just like, people's data gets breached for fucking liking a Facebook comment for all this stuff. Like, yeah. it's a real problem that we should, and it's also a problem that this is even happening in the first place, but I feel like, me personally, does a company need grace? That's the whole thing. But I'm like, I can give grace on like when they first started this app, it wasn't, they didn't have the proper security measures and they were figuring stuff out. And these like hateful assholes like doxed it.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to like wrap my head around it. Yeah. That was like pretty complicated, but.
Oh, sorry.
Like, for, no, I mean, it was a great explanation, but it is like a lot of info. So like the first thing I'm looking at, like, I work in tech, so mm-hmm. this is actually very interesting.
Yeah, I'm like,
the first thing is, it's a woman-owned company.
I don't
Isn't
know.
The app is like, I think that built one by of women the for women.
It's for women. I think that one of the founders might be a man or something. But I feel like,
I mean,
it's,
you can have multiple founders on any
multiple
project,
founders.
Generally,
yeah. I don't want to say that everybody who's touched this app is made by women.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's hard.
It's
yeah,
so it's so hard. That's it's hard. To
but
come
I don't
want to.
Yeah,
so
I can't
like that.
Yeah, I can't
But just
confirm.
Having one where, like, the idea was generated from women or, yeah. like, the app is by women, probably with, like, you know, everybody involved. Like, all genders are involved in the production of these things. But, like, having that be a basis, I'm like, okay, so that's an interesting idea. That's pretty cool. And then the second thing is, like, I get what it's for. I totally get why it's controversial for some people. But I also feel like, I'm sorry, we don't have any safe spaces and yeah. I don't have anywhere to go. So I'm fine to take up a little more room and be a little like honest about things online if it's going to like help, you know, create safety for women where we're not being protected in any facet, yeah. any mm-hmm. government institution or any institution through technology as a whole. Not to mention the fact that especially around things like data and data breaches and like privacy and stuff like that. You know, AI and all of the technology that's currently being created is skewed and it's biased because it's built by men and it's built for men. And so, like, I just think that, like, when there's a situation like this, it is important to look at the company and see, like, okay, you know, what were the intentions behind it and how did it happen? And did the hack come from the fact that this app was successful because it did what it was supposed to do?
Yeah.
And then it pissed people off. And those pissed off people came back and then hacked them on purpose out of like spite, which seems like it's
that's
probably
what
it,
that's
the
what
most
happened.
The most yeah logical thing. So I'm like, all right, yes, it's a learning curve for them. No, nobody wants their like data and like things released, but I'm sorry, if you exist in 2025, your data has been leaked. I get an email every single day. My Hertz got hacked a while ago. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
and that's a lot
I'm
of
saying.
Information that I get. My that's my license. That's my whatever.
Yeah,
they got hacked. I had to like redo everything. It happens with, you know, banks. It happens with like your Con Edison. I mean, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
So
would love if someone hacked my Con Ed and paid it.
That'd be great.
Because I've been.
Please do that.
I'm like, that's what people are saying.
What is Con Ed doing? What are they charging right now?
No, like, it's crazy. But it's also, that's also a thing of like, damn, you guys are hacking the T app, but you couldn't delete student loans, couldn't release the Epstein files. Like, where are the
priorities? Go hack something that matters. Go hack the Epstein files and drop them out on Twitter, please. Like, yeah. I'm ready.
Like, what happened to Anonymous? Like, I feel like there was a period of time where we had, like...
But then they got, like, crazy,
can they
too.
Just leak them? I just want somebody to...
I know,
to,
but I'm like, can they do one last thing?
I'm like, yeah. I want to summon hackers to do things that are worthwhile.
Ethical. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Come on. That's ethical what hackers, hacking.
Well, that's what these guys think, that they're doing ethical hacking, because how dare women. So... that's like the data breach update. And the other update that I think is interesting is that the T app has spread into, now it's growing so much that it's spread into different communities. And it's interesting because it's sparking different conversations based on the communities. So we talked about how it reached the Muslim community, and the topic was like, is gossiping a sin? Is it bad for marriages? Are you disrupting families? It has now spread in the Black community, and a lot of Black creators are talking about the T app and the effects on it. And it's just completely different discussion topic. I wanted to share this really funny video from this creator at Davey Newton about his friends talking to him about being on the T app.
Yo, why I just got a cuff for one of the guys? Like, yo, they got me on that TF. I'm listening to this nigga. I'm like, bro, that's crazy. He was like, yo, what should I do? What should I do? I said, do right by women. And he was like, no, bro, they lying about me, though. Yo, they lying. They talking about how I'm a broke nigga, and I'll be borrowing money from women, and I'll be paying them back, and all this type of shit. And it was mad women saying that I did the same thing, too. Nigga, you owe me 200. They might be right. My other man's gave me a call. He was like, yo, bro, they playing with me, gang. They talking about I'm a mass manipulator. And I'm like, damn, that's what they really said about you on the app? He was like, yeah, yo, they said I was a mass manipulator, and I don't know where they even come from. Do you think I'm a mass manipulator? And I was like, I mean, bro, I don't think so. But then he was like, well, if I was a mass manipulator, you tell me, right? I was like, yeah, because I can't have nobody around me who be thinking that I'm a mass manipulator, because I'm just a nigga out here trying to get it. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, so, I mean, you actually, now that I think about it, you do sometimes be trying to get your way in situations. And then he was like, bro, see, you're not really my nigga. If you was really my nigga, you would have told me that I ain't do nothing wrong, because every time I ever try to talk to you about anything for real, I always heard you out. I see what they mean now.
Oh my god, that was so funny. That was like a really clever way of like articulating everything that needed to be said about that situation. That,
yeah, it's like, do right by women. Well, yeah. Software update 2.
Okay,
in last week's episode we discussed the Coldplay kiss cam situation,
which you are aware of, because even being offline,
it's like not even online, it's like it's anywhere. On like billboards now.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. And it's been repeated so many times. If you don't know what that is, that's when the CEO of an AI company, astronomer Andy Byron, was caught cheating by a jumbotron with the head of HR for that same company, Kristen Cabot. Well, the update is, according to Rob Shutter's exclusive report, the former CEO is exploring a lawsuit against Coldplay over the viral kiss cam incident. Insiders revealed that Byron is citing, quote, emotional distress and, quote, invasion of privacy, while planning to sue the band and the event organizers.
Coldplay? He's suing Coldplay?
Imagine.
A source close to him expressed that, quote, he didn't consent to being filmed or publicly humiliated. Byron reportedly thinks, quote, Coldplay made him a meme, quote. Meanwhile, legal experts told the outlet that they didn't view his legal course coming to like his lawsuit doesn't really have legs. And an attorney noted that one can expect no privacy when it's a public concert with cameras and thousands of people gathered.
50,000 people or something? Like, yeah, come no. on.
50,000 people. The expert believed that the former astronomer's CEO is likely trying to, quote, shift blame. While Coldplay is yet to respond to the report, sources shared that frontman Chris Martin, quote, laughed out loud, end quote, at Byron's attempts to sue the band. So that's the first little software update of the Coldplay kiss cam. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, wait, I have so many
thoughts. Yeah, please go.
Wait, but okay, so the first thing is Chris Martin, that's the Coldplay guy.
Yeah.
Is he married to Gwyneth Paltrow?
Well, that's a second part of it. So don't even start on that.
Because I
just talk about the lawsuit.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to know.
It's a very exciting topic.
It is exciting now, and it keeps getting more exciting. And I love it because now I understand where the tea is going to go. And I'm like, I can give the tea with this.
Yeah.
Imagine being infidelitous or whatever that was. Imagine being infidelitous. Yeah, imagine being like having an affair and being like the CEO of a very successful company with like an ARR of like what, 200 mil or something? Where are they?
A billion.
A billion?
Like that. Yeah.
Well, wow. I was shooting kind of low. I never heard of astronomer. I was like, I don't know what they are. And then like blaming the freaking kiss cam on revealing that you're having an affair because you thought it was a good idea to stand on a balcony in front of everybody and get like box seats and then like wrap your arms around this random woman that's just like, and you know how many camera, like you can see in a show like that how many cameras are around.
Also, you know what a Jumbotron is, and the Jumbotron was already going. It's not like they were even the first people on the Jumbotron. So it's like, you're in a box.
Break it up.
You know that they're cutting to random people in the audience. So if you don't want there to even be a chance that your affair is going to get up on the Jumbotron, then maybe just stop holding each other for the minute that the Jumbotron is up. And I said this on our Patreon, and I'll say it again. Anything that happens on the Jumbotron at a Coldplay concert is Coldplay's business.
Yeah.
They are allowed to comment.
Yeah, because people are like, Coldplay should apologize to this couple.
And it's
I don't know if they're together anymore.
No, that's crazy. He had her in like a half Nelson on the balcony. Like he was like grabbing her titties,
but her things were like, they were, the whole point is like, you can't, you're a bad cheater. You're bad at this.
You're terrible at your cheating.
You should have fucking took it to the Econo Lodge or fucking, and also like, that's
the
actually.
The Ramada Inn is a great spot.
It's even hotter that way to like pretend that you're not fucking in public and,
brush the tips of your fingers.
That's the whole point of Bridgerton.
That you got to pretend that you're not, come on.
Oh, he didn't watch Bridgerton.
He didn't watch Bridgerton. No.
And that's his downfall. And that's many men's downfall.
But also, she's the chief people officer.
Well, not anymore.
Or whatever. Whatever. So she's like the head of people and he's the CEO. That is so funny. Like, imagine you go to work the next day. It's like your HR was doing that. That is incredibly.
No one can get fired.
Exactly.
It's amazing. It's like, ooh.
Yeah. It's like, oh, didn't we have a meeting scheduled to talk about how I've been 5 minutes late?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, where have you been?
Where have you guys been?
Speaking of cherry on top, another update is that Astronomer, the company, released this video with Gwyneth Paltrow, ex-wife of Chris Martin, the lead singer of Coldplay. And you guys need to know that this video got 36.7 million views on Twitter, which could mean anything. That could mean that no one saw it. But it's also, this video has been lauded as the, quote, most genius crisis PR response ever seen in history.
I agree.
Thank you for your interest in Astronomer. Hi, I'm Gwyneth Paltrow. I've been hired on a very temporary basis to speak on behalf of the 300-plus employees at Astronomer. Astronomer has gotten a lot of questions over the last few days, and they wanted me to answer the most common ones. Yes, Astronomer is the best place to run Apache Airflow, unifying the experience of running data, ML, and AI pipelines at scale. We've been thrilled so many people have a newfound interest in data workflow automation. As for the other questions we've received, yes, there is still room available at our Beyond Analytics event in September. We will now be returning to what we do best, delivering game-changing results for our customers. Thank you for your interest in Astronomer.
Now, that's a marketing team I want to be on. I want to meet their CMO. I want to know everything about that. That is fantastic.
Why was it fantastic to you?
Because it's genius. Somebody literally on that team, God, I hope it was like a PMM and they were sitting there with the best idea and they got to like get promoted. They were like,
is that what you are?
No. I'm head of marketing at a tech company. And my CEO actually sent me this video, which is so cool because she's like so in the know of these things. I love it. But like, somebody was literally like, all right, let's get Chris Martin's ex and hire her to do our damage control on this. And let's make it funny and like put in all those little quips about like, you know, she's like bringing it back to like what the company is about, which is so smart. I just thought it was so well done. Like, I wish that I had written that.
How much would you think they fucking paid Gwyneth Paltrow to make that video?
She got a good check from that.
She got a good check.
She got a, I think she got at least $1 million.
I would say a little, probably more.
Like, she got more than $1 million.
I think
to make that
more.
1 minute
like
video.
I would say, like, you know, she probably got paid like $2 to $5 million. And then like the budget for the whole thing, I don't know. That's just my guess. Like if I'm like sussing out, like, you know, and but the putting it together wasn't that much. It was. It seems like very low lift. She's in one place. They put all of their budget. You can tell they put all their spend on getting her in there.
Yes.
To just make it super simple, they had their in-house UX designer whip up the like. Mm-hmm. The graphics for that thing. I mean, like, it's a pretty...
2.5 million. Yeah, 2 to 5 million.
I would say 2 at the lowest. Like, I'm sure that she did. But, you know, if part of her was a little happy to do it, then she might have been like, I'll do it.
Because it's her ex-husband's band.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
They're amicable.
I think that... Well, they famously said when they broke up that they were consciously uncoupling.
Yeah, because I looked
That's
for
so
this.
Goop of them.
Yeah. It's very goopy. They had a very goopy divorce. So I do think that's another thing is like... is like, she's not saying anything like negative about like Chris Martin. It's just that everyone... She is very heavily associated with him. Yeah. And the fact that it was cheating and there's divorce involved. Like, it is... The fact that they were able to get her, I think, is probably worth, putting 99.9% of the budget towards just making sure that she does it and she does it now.
Yeah.
And then everything else, is like very low budget. It's just her looking to camera for anyone who is listening. There are some graphics, but everything else, it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if what you're saying is true, is that the vast majority of the budget went to just getting her get on camera.
For sure.
They did everything else in-house, but I was just like, this has to be... They spent millions of dollars on this. Like, Gwyneth Paltrow is not even doing that for $100,000.
No.
A 1 minute video. So that was, because I also looked to see, like, oh, is it like a super twist because Chris Martin cheated on her? No. Then that's when I found out the conscious uncoupling.
Mm-hmm.
Uncoupling to this is the fun part. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? But it's in good taste, honestly. It's just pretty funny.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's smart too. Like, a good point too is that it's in good taste.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't they just kind of wink at what everyone's talking about. They poke fun at themselves and they let you know what the company does. Like, it's well done.
Yeah.
Everything is going to go up. Like, this is great for them. Like, the whole, as a whole, I'm like, this is probably going to eventually get them in a good position, which is hilarious.
So you're saying that the Kiss Cam was probably the best thing for them?
I had never heard of Astronomer before.
Me
this.
Neither,
and
not,
I work
me
in
neither.
Tech, and I'm like, I have no idea what you guys are doing. Now I'm looking at that and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go see like what freaking LLMs they're building that we can incorporate in our company. Like, I have no idea, you know. I mean, this is gonna happen for them.
I have no reason to work with them to create whatever it is that they're creating. Well, but if I did,
if you need to run Apache,
yeah,
Adobe,
I guess
Apache.
If GoTo
Adobe Apache
to
Airflow
for Airflow or whatever, they are the first people
they're
I would
the
think
first
of.
People. And this video has been sponsored by
Astronomer. If
give
us $2 million.
Yeah, if Astronomer would like to run ads on the podcast, that's a no-brainer.
We
will take
those.
We
hate cheaters.
We side with you.
Yeah,
and we love what you're doing with Airflow.
Yeah, Airflow.
Airflow's good.
The Airflow is flowing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We love it.
So, those are our updates.
Whew.
Now we can get into the discourse.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can get in the discourse, which is our main segment of the show where we talk about, we dive into what the internet has been talking about. Guys, have you heard of Kiss Cafe?
We've got another kiss, but I know it's a different type of kiss than the Kiss Cam.
It's not Kiss Cam, it's Kiss Cafe.
Is it about the rock band?
No, it's not about the rock band, and this is how offline you are. It has nothing to do with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't be wrong. Anyway.
I told you.
Okay. So there is a creator by the name of It's Carla Beebe. It's Carla Baby on TikTok.
Okay.
Who is a San Francisco local food influencer who goes around and finds local coffee shops and restaurants in San Francisco. There's also posts of her making stuff at home, that kind of shit. You guys know the vibes. Kind of, if you're not familiar, this is a kind of normal thing now. Every little city that exists has a network of local food influencers. There are big food influencers like Keith Lee, who has 50 million, but most cities, Raleigh, Detroit, everything, there are people out there who, as a hobby, maybe they parlayed into something, whatever, they make their own little food content about their local city. So a restaurant reached out to her and asked her, say, hey, we're about to open our new restaurant. Could you come review our place? We'll give you free food. You end up plus one free food and make, if you can make video content for us. So her reservation was at 5:30. She shows up a little bit early to take videos of the restaurant while it's empty and to familiarize herself, even though she like studied the menu before, kind of looked through the menu, all that stuff, right? When she got there, the staff was really rude to her. They made her uncomfortable. They didn't seat her right away. And they looked her up while she was there and saw that she only had 15,000 followers. And they got upset by, like, they didn't think her stuff was premium enough. So she had a bad experience. She posted a video about it. We're going to watch like halfway through to the end. But that's basically like what's covered in the first 3 minutes of this video, is that she's a creator, San Francisco. She went to this restaurant. They approached her. They asked her. And then she gets there and they're being rude to her.
Seemed like he was insinuating that my followers would not be able to afford to eat at this restaurant. Then he says, not to be snobby, but do you know who I am? And I say no, because I don't know who he is. He says he's a James Beard Award recipient or finalist or something. And I'm like, great. Like, I don't know what to say to that. And he said that his daughter has 600,000 followers on TikTok and that I'm not at that level. He keeps going on. He says that my cooking videos are homey, but he doesn't think I understand what they do at that restaurant. At this point, I'm crying and I want to get out. So I tell him that I'm no longer interested in doing the collab. I tell him that I felt disrespected because they were talking about me right in front of me and belittling my work. And he tells me that he was offended because I came in and didn't introduce myself to him, which is weird because usually during restaurant collabs, the host comes and greets you because there's a lot of people at the restaurant. You don't know who the owner is or you've never seen their faces most of the time. And now it's 5:30 and my husband comes into the restaurant and he's like, hi, everybody, because he doesn't know what's going on. I tell my husband that we're going to leave and we're not eating here. And I tell the owner that I will be taking note of this because I want to be an advocate for micro-influencers, especially in the Bay Area food scene. You don't need to have a million followers to be respected or feel like you're making a difference. I love spotlighting small businesses and I want to continue to do that and have fun.
Ugh. I know.
Oh my God. Like, oh. I'm like so moved by that. That's so awesome.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah. Okay, first of all, I think she's like so nice. She's like, she handled that with so much grace. I would have been like, these bitches, oh, like they totally ruined my day. I came up trying to like do something nice, you know. I mean, I would have been pissed. And she was just like calm and just gracious about it.
She didn't mention the name of the restaurant either.
She didn't mention the name.
Or the owner name.
So nice. And like, she totally didn't have to do that. And I just think that she's 100% right. Like, micro influencers are super important. Also, 15,000 followers is like a lot. Like, that's 15,000 people. The numbers on social media drive me crazy because we have to take a step back and remember, like, Elise, when was the last time you performed on stage for 15,000 people?
I don't think I've ever performed on stage for 15,000 people. Like,
that's the whole thing. So I'm like, 5,000, 3,000, 10,000, 15,000.
1,000 people.
These are
in
huge
a room.
Numbers. Yeah. Like, really.
Lady Gaga.
Like, yeah, exactly.
We're so skewed on our, like, on our, what we think is like a big number. And I just don't think that it's fair. And I think it's really rude. And also, I'm sorry. If your daughter has 600,000 followers, why don't you have her come in and do your
My
job?
Question, exactly.
Like,
okay, where's your daughter?
Where's your daughter? Is she here? Or is she busy, like, doing whatever influencing she does? Because you asked me to be here. Who on your marketing team found me, reached out to me, asked for this collab, and then said yes to it. And now I'm here and you're displeased. Sounds like you guys didn't do your research. Mm. Sounds like there's some lack of communication in your comms system there. That's what I feel about it.
Like, I personally just, I don't even agree with thinking that someone with 15,000 followers isn't like valuable for you to have in your restaurant. Ridiculous. Like, I don't agree with that on a bare minimum. But even if you want to push that argument, do it when she's gone. You guys already invited her. Somewhat address whatever miscommunication happened. If you want the minimum follower count for an influencer to come in to be a higher minimum, again, I think that's kind of stupid because I feel like micro influencers, especially for like a local area.
Yeah, that's what, exactly what I'm going to say.
She's coming to eat the food for free and review
it. And it's
like,
it's probably going to cost the restaurant $300, maybe.
What, to like put out some food and let her eat it and make
and
a video?
And for free, like I'm not saying that it's free, like the it's at no cost to the restaurant, but like feeding someone at your restaurant, it can't be that big of an expense.
If five people come in, you're making money on what you spent on her.
Exactly. Maybe even less.
Yeah. I worked in restaurants for like 10 years and they throw food out like it's their job. They're literally like, if somebody important comes in, they're so quick to be like, this is our most whatever customer. Give them this and this and this. And it's the owner and this is, you know, like they shell out food because they have it. And they always have more food than they're supposed to have. And at the end of the night, you get rid of so much food. So it's like, oh, maybe tonight you waste a little less. Like, big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like, again, it's like, okay, if you want to say that you won't give out a meal for free for less than 100,000 followers, again, I think that's dumb. But like, have that conversation away from her. There's no reason to invite her into your restaurant and then vet her when she's physically present and make her feel bad. She wouldn't, it's not like she showed up and was like, I'm an influencer. Give me a meal. No. You invited her.
Yeah. That's what's crazy to me. That's why, like, I think that there's some kind of like miscommunication where they're like, or not miscommunication. It just seems malicious, honestly.
Yeah.
Like he found out about it. Like somebody else on the team was handling it. And then he found out and he was like, no, like my daughter has 600,000 followers. So
yeah.
That's what I think too.
And, you know, like both of you said, I just want to like reiterate and kind of like break it down a little bit. As someone who has worked as a marketer and in social media, I know we all do. And we talk about internet followers and we have talked about like follower inflation, about how, you know, 100,000 followers today doesn't mean as much as it did back in the day. I think that it's not, you know, so like it's not as impressive as it used to be, whatever. We have talked about that in sense of like, with creators, but I'm not necessarily, I don't think that that's like a hard and fast rule, especially if you're focusing on a niche market like the Bay Area food scene. Like, okay, if me as a follower or, you know, a fashion person or, you know, I do plus size, whatever modeling and I have 10,000 followers versus 20,000 versus 100,000 versus a million, like we can get into those games about like inflation there. But especially on TikTok, virality is a lottery. It doesn't mean people who go viral, I think that's kind of the point and why people do like TikTok, is that the people who go viral aren't necessarily the people who have the most followers. And there is the discussion that has been happening of, with the rise of AI, anytime you type in a search engine like Google, like it gets like succinct, like summarized. Right now, if you type into Google, you get an AI summary of whatever you look up. And then you get like five or six sponsored, whoever paid Google to like rank their website first. And then you get the actual result. So some people have been complaining about how using Google and other search, like as a search engine, sucks. So people use TikTok as a search engine. So if I'm looking up, for example, if I go to the Bay Area and I look up restaurants in the Bay Area, I'm seeing whatever content pops up. I don't really care who has 15,000 or 100 million followers. I'm looking at restaurants in the Bay Area. So it doesn't really make sense. And also, how many people, you know, the followers doesn't really influence the views of each individual video. I will say that the creator itself, like if I consistently like their views or point of views or whatever insight, or their selections or whatever their taste, then I will follow them. But reach versus followers in the sense of like talking about food content, I don't think it's as strict versus like if you're a musician or a comedian or something. Like,
I think you're so right. I think that's a great point, Melly. Like literally it's not about, I mean, from a marketing perspective, if you're looking to like hire an influencer, really one of the things you should be looking at is not the number. I have seen so many accounts for campaigns where this person has 600,000 followers, but they've got 3,000, 2,000, 1,000 views because like people go up and down mm-hmm. with their views. Yeah. So like right now they're not trending as hard and their content's not getting, you know, as much reach. And it's really like the engagement and the quality of the passion that the person puts into it is so much more important than like how many followers they have. So it's exactly like you said, like the reach is what people are looking for. And maybe, it, you know, maybe somebody with 15,000 followers has less of a chance of getting 50,000 views per video. But what you're going to get with that is a fan base that trusts them. You're going to get content that makes sense where they're passionate about it. You're also going to get, I'm sorry, but micro influencers work harder because they are newer to the game. They want to do a good job. They're passionate about it. They want to grow. So they give you more. They're willing to give you more like input and personality than somebody that, you know, has 600,000 followers and all you talk to is their agent. You don't get to give them an actual face-to-face breakdown. And then they send you a video and you're like, oh man, she took 5 minutes to make that. Whereas a micro influencer is going to put their heart into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which she was talking about that, like, she, you know, did show up early to take videos of the restaurant and like did look at the menu ahead of time and like all of this different stuff. And also to just go to your follower point, I'm probably not going to follow a food influencer in the Bay Area because I don't live in the Bay Area. But if I was going to the Bay Area, I might look up her page or find her somewhere or look at her recommendations and still like see that she has 15,000 followers and that this is her niche and watch her videos and go to a restaurant she recommended highly, even if I'm not actually actively her follower.
Exactly. So that's exactly like a distinction that I wanted to explain to people who maybe aren't online and don't know how it works, like especially. And it's tough because things change. The way that it works is ever changing. Of course, someone could think like, oh, well, more followers means more views. Not necessarily, especially with food and especially on TikTok. So as you guys said, like this goes super, super viral, as you mentioned. And it's because you feel compelled. And also that video was 5 minutes long and it really broke down all the research and all the things that she did to prepare for it. The video as of this morning had 21 million views.
Woo!
And people in the comments immediately clocked that the name of the restaurant is called Kiss Cafe. The owner's name, the guy who said all that, his name is Luke Sung and his daughter's name is Issa Sung. So the internet started coming for both of them and tagging and hating on Issa's page. And what ended up happening is that everyone started following It's Carla Baby. And as of this morning, she has 386,000 followers.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so she went up.
That's huge.
So,
that's a huge bump.
No, that's huge.
Yeah,
she's like in a total different ballgame now.
Yeah.
First of all, I love that for her. I think that's awesome.
It's a cute internet story.
I love that.
So she gives us this update so we can listen to her update now.
Awesome.
Okay, so much has happened in the past 24 hours, and I feel like I need to come on here and give everybody kind of an update. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can watch my most recent video and this video will make a lot more sense. First of all, I woke up today to the most supportive and kind and genuine and encouraging comments and messages. And I've read through every single one of them and I could not be more grateful and shocked at how much empathy you guys have towards basically a stranger on the internet. I am so grateful and so appreciative of everyone that's checked in on me and made sure that I am feeling okay. And more than anything, I feel so proud because I think it goes to show how strong of a community TikTok can be. I haven't responded to any comments asking about the name of the restaurant or the owner because I don't want to get you guys or me into any type of trouble, but I feel like everyone's kind of figured it out one way or another. I do want to make it clear that I do not condone any type of bullying or slander to unrelated family members. My issue was with this specific restaurant and the specific management, and when this was happening, I not only did not know who he was, but I did not know that his family members were in the public eye. The short update is that I have not heard directly from the owner or the host about this, and I'm really hoping that they are open to taking accountability and learning and growing from this experience. But more importantly, I have gained so many new followers from this, which is pretty surreal. I'm sad that you guys first found me with a video that wasn't very positive, but I do want to go back to posting videos about food and recipes and Bay Area restaurants that I'm really excited for. Basically, what I'm trying to say is I feel so grateful for every single person that's been following me or started following me and supporting me. And we are such a strong community. And I hope that nobody on this app ever forgets that.
Aw, she's very sweet.
I like it.
She has very
good vibes.
Yeah, she has really good vibes, I would say.
So that was her update. Kiss Cafe posted this Instagram apology. So this is a statement from Kiss Cafe. Our chef's behavior was unacceptable and he is no longer a part of the team as co-owner, a chef, or in any other way. As of this post, he, parentheses Luke, has reached out to the creator with a personal apology. That behavior does not reflect the remainder of our team. We want to create a space that's welcoming and respectful to everyone. In this instance, we failed to do so. We are closing soon and restructuring after these events. Ooh. In the meantime, we hope to still be able to sustain the livelihoods of our team members and their families. Lastly, we understand the frustration and anger, but please do not use this lapse in our values as an opportunity to foment racism and hate speech towards us and our loved ones. Sincerely, the KISS team. Thoughts?
Wow.
I mean, it's interesting that he lost his job. I did not think.
Well, they said he stepped away. They made an update to that says the owner, Luke, stepped away. They didn't fire him. They probably, but yeah, people were like, fuck this guy. Who the fuck is he? Whatever. So
yeah. Imagine being such an asshole that it's like, you fuck, because it really does come down to that this guy is an asshole, you know, because it's like they invited her.
But no one defended her either and said, don't say that or this. And
no,
that.
So I know,
like,
but
they
it's
all
like,
are assholes.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on like the internal workings of the, you know what I mean? It's like, I guess what I mean is like the host wasn't going to be an asshole to her.
Yeah.
It was that he showed up and started being a dick and like having this conversation.
And was he like the head chef or something?
I guess so.
I guess he's like the person, who created the menu. But she made it clear, like I will say, that like he was the one who was like most aggressive to her face. But like it wasn't like she got a warm greeting from everyone and felt super comfortable and this guy was an asshole. I think it was like she got an icy feeling. And you can watch the video yourself. It was like she got an icy feeling from everyone. And then the
owner
came.
Showed up.
Came.
I do wonder if it's like he started being a dick before she like even arrived, as soon as he found out about it. That's like unclear to me. But I just do think it's funny that it's like on the backs of your assholery now, your daughter's getting hate. You're getting hate. It's like, the daughter wasn't even there.
Yeah.
Like that, no, to find out that your dad is like doing that. And then now you're embroiled in a thing. And I imagine we'll get to like where she stands in all of this. But like, it does suck to just be like, why did you fucking say my name?
Why did you say my handle to this woman where it's like, oh, and this is my daughter.
Why did you do this?
Like,
no. Because the daughter and nobody even knew that like,
I'd be mad.
I think the daughter doesn't even do food content. I think the daughter is just like a cute TikTok girly who like posts her outfits and travel stuff. I didn't see like that. She's not like a food influencer like this girl. So it's like apples and oranges. And like, yeah, I just feel like you are going to get more, unless you're like a big food influencer that has a huge universal niche or you travel to different cities like a Keith Lee, like, you're just not going to get big, like as big as someone who posts like outfits and shit.
Yeah.
Elise, this is exactly why I like didn't want to do that thing with the like Mormon group that copied all my stuff, because I'm like,
oh, yes.
Whenever I'm like,
there's a Mormon group that copied your
stuff. Like, oh. Are they Mormon? I think they're Mormon.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They are.
There was
they
like
are.
This. Our team, do you want to do it? Because
if you want to say this, you are so welcome to say
this.
Say
it, yeah.
I just am like following your lead.
I know. Well, I want to make a video about it. But basically, like what happened was that we did a show and I did this very specific character.
It's very
specific. I think it's very original and very specific. And the character was called Savelka. And she was like this.
I'm trying to.
She's like a vampire.
Just say it. Yeah,
she's like a vampire. It's like Bat Boy kind of. Like she's a vampire with like wings and stuff, and she's like this weird creature that like sleeps in the closet. But it's from The Sound of Music. So like, if The Sound of Music had an eighth kid that you never saw in the movie because she got cut from the film, and she's this like freaky bat thing.
It's
and
very good and very funny.
It's so funny. I'm sorry. Like, I love doing it. We had a good time on.
But a Mormon copied it.
No. So like, there's this like. Community theater.
It's a Mormon sketch comedy show that exists.
So I did this character at UCB and then I posted it online, right? If I had just done it at UCB, I'd be like, whoa, there's something in the air. And like, we all just, because you do something, somebody else, there's no new ideas, right? So like, who am I to judge you? But I posted it online. It got like, 30, 40,000 views on my TikTok or something. It was like fairly significant, not huge, didn't go viral. Okay, that's great. But then like 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, my teammates are sending me these videos from the Mormon group, the Mormon sketch show, who I don't remember their name anyway, so I'm not going to name it. The Mormon sketch show.
And you don't get that name.
And you don't get to see. We're not supporting you. So they sent me a video. It was literally the same thing. It was a girl pretending to be this like bat thing, and they were singing. The only thing that was different was that it wasn't Sound of Music.
Okay? It was Hairspray.
It was Hairspray.
So, isn't that even weirder though? Because Hairspray, there's black people in it. Isn't that like the whole point of Hairspray? Okay, so there's a bat girl in Hairspray.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's tied to this Asian owner of San Francisco.
I know. Sorry, I don't know how.
But
this is derailed. But
we were talking about choosing to like, I guess, speak about these things online versus not.
When I like was thinking, because everyone was like, you have to make a video and put it on TikTok. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, this is probably a lot.
It's a Mormon sketch group.
I get scared because like what I don't want to happen is like, I hate the backlash of things that comes with this. Like, I know that this.
We haven't even got to the backlash.
And I don't know what the backlash is, but she's handling it really well. But like, you know, when you do something like that and then like all the pressure, I can only imagine like. She's dealing with all these things. Part of her feels guilty for doing it. She's like, don't do this. You know, we're programmed to feel bad about speaking up for ourselves and advocating for ourselves, I think, especially as women. And I think that it's hard to kind of like unwire that. So that was like the whole purpose. And then like the final note, I'm sorry, but then they did another sketch and it was Sound of Music and it was the same game minus the bat. So then they took both parts of it.
It was very strange.
So you
something
should
very strange has
something.
Been going on with the Mormon sketch team and Sibel.
They're watching me. They're like,
that's
Afro, I'm like
crazy.
And if you're listening right now, we're on to you.
We're saying bad words.
I would like to
say coffee
listening.
And fuck you.
Yeah, we're mad.
I drink coffee and I have
and
sex.
I drink coffee. We're big
and
mad.
I smoke weed and all this stuff, so don't listen. Okay. So, well, I hope this doesn't negatively influence you from speaking out, but we are getting into the backlash.
This is good.
So, okay, I studied sociology. I love to hear how these stories have bigger implications to racial dynamics and sexism and misogyny and all of that stuff. So it's really interesting because, you know, everybody, you know, the creator is Asian, the owners are Asian. So I was like, okay, like, whatever, but then it gets really weird. So, okay. Basically, the first thing that happens is that Daily Mail writes two different headlines. I've explained the story. I will say me and Elise are very left-leaning, so maybe we're giving our spin on it, but I basically told you the story. This girl posted this video. The guy dropped out, right? The guy quit.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to read these two headlines from Daily Mail. Read headline one.
Top chef fired for making influencer cry by telling her she wasn't famous enough for free food.
That's one. And that is written by Will Potter for DailyMail.com. Let's read the second.
San Francisco chef loses everything after telling influencer she wasn't famous enough to get a free dinner.
And that's by Martha Williams. And you need to know that Daily Mail is a right-wing fucking tabloid institution, right? So this is a narrative that's out there, right? That is saying like this girl was like a little snowflake that couldn't handle that she's not famous enough.
I'm outraged because like all of these things, it's like technically this is correct, but the framing of it is
so
fucked because they invited her there. Again, they make it seem like she showed up and demanded free food. And it's like, no, they invited her there and then we're like, actually, you're not famous enough to be here.
So
I agree.
What I said was shit getting weird was that I found this page called Asia Dawn. So Asia Dawn is a center-right, anti-woke, realist, anti-boba liberal. What? Anti-boba liberal. So boba anti-boba liberals.
Anti-boba liberal.
Boba, I'm sorry, what says center-right?
Center-right is like that. That's what.
The center of the right.
Yeah, center of the right. So they, well, basically they're an Asian Republican.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're not white supremacists like most of the far right, but they are anti-woke.
But they're down for everything else.
And they're down for everything else. And it's hashtag soy sauce supremacist. The racial slur that I found out, and I'm assuming that the person who wrote this is Asian, is the boba liberals. I've never heard of that before. We learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm.
So this person reposted the Daily Mail article and wrote this. A, quote, TikTok micro-influencer got a top San Francisco chef fired after saying she was left in tears by the restaurateur's refusal to give her free food because she wasn't famous. Food influencer It's Carla Baby said she was left, quote, shaking after being invited to a collaboration with the Bay Area wine bar Kiss Cafe, where she expected to receive a free meal for her and her husband in exchange for a promotion video on her channel. But the creator said that after the arriving at the restaurant, award-winning chef Luke Sung questioned why she should be invited.
There's like this narrative, then there's the second narrative, now there's the third narrative.
Now there's a fourth narrative. The daughter of Luke Sung, Issa Sung, posted an apology. So we have the right wing kind of response, which is like, man, this girl's like bad. She's upset because
she's not famous enough.
And then we got the left wing response, which is like, why do women have to apologize for the actions of men? This is unfair, whatever, because his daughter had to make a post. Because all her posts were getting, your dad's a dick, blah, blah, blah. What's wrong with you? This and that. She had to post this. Let's watch the video. And then I want to hear your thoughts.
Wow. This is crazy.
I know.
I'm like so upset.
Hi. I'm not the most well-spoken, so I'm reading off what might come out a little messy. But I just wanted to say something and not fumble my words. In light of everything that's been happening, I just want to say that I still stand by what I said in my comment in Carla's video, and that I support her. What happened to her was not okay, and within hours, as soon as I saw the video, I knew exactly who it was about. I called my dad, his business partner, and I reached out to her immediately after she shared it to have him apologize in person, because nobody deserved to be treated that way, and I wanted her to know that she has my support. I know I wasn't the one who said those things, but hearing him use me as his daughter to belittle another person, a creator or not, was a complete shock to me and was unacceptable. As a daughter of immigrant parents, I've spent my whole life navigating these dynamics, trying to educate him on regulating his emotions and words, which doesn't excuse anything, but this isn't the first time I felt hurt by his actions.
Aww.
And how he has treated people. When it's to me and to people in my household, we know how to handle it. But it's not acceptable to treat anybody the same way or in public. If any of you can relate to this feeling of having parents who cannot control their emotions, you might understand this feeling. But it's not an excuse. And though I love my family, this was, again, not okay. I don't condone how he spoke to her. And I don't share the values of speaking down to anyone, especially not another AAPI creator. And even if she weren't a creator or Asian American, it still would not have been okay. I know Carla's intentions were genuine, and if she doesn't want to hear from me, I fully understand that. I want to give her space. But please know that I am not the restaurant, I am not my father, and his actions don't represent me. And just like many of you who may not have always agreed with your parents, I definitely do not always agree with mine. This was definitely a necessary wake-up call for him and a learning experience that I know he is taking very seriously. The restaurant has issued a public statement and apology, and my father has also reached out directly. But again, the most important thing is that she should have been treated with respect. I'm not asking for empathy or for grace, but thank you for listening.
I feel bad for her.
I feel bad for the daughter.
I feel bad for her.
I feel bad for her too. I mean, I feel bad for her, and I also feel so saddened by how exhausting it is to apologize in 2025. You have to cover every...
Yeah.
She has to circle around and circle around and circle around, and like also this, and I'm not asking for grace, but I am apologizing, and it's not an excuse. I mean, like, because every single thing gets like, just people look pissed, under the microscope. Yeah. Like, no matter what, somebody is mad and there's nothing you can do about it.
The moment that flagged to me was when she was like, as you know, no one should be treated this way, especially an AAPI creator. But also,
if it was a white person, it's fine.
It's
like, everyone else. It's like,
no one should be treated that way. And it was to me, I was like, oh, she's like really trying to cover every single base.
And I hate that. I think it's exhausting because, like, I think it's important, but at the same time, it's like, you can tell that she's upset and that she's sorry. And also, why does she have to apologize when I don't think, like, anything about this was her fault? Like,
yeah, but it's kind of like, I don't know. What is the that's kind of the question of the internet. It's like, are you responsible but your dad was throwing out your name. And you got to, like,
defend yourself.
In a way, this is her brand shit of, like, she's protecting her brand being like, I don't fuck with my dad like that. And he makes mistakes. And, like, this is a bigger problem or whatever. Like, it's unnecessary in some ways. And it seems dumb. But I'm like, it is kind of like, if we're talking about brand PR, I'm like, she needed to do this.
She had to.
Once she put her name out there, she had
to be in that situation is my point. Like, yeah, I agree. She's doing excellent brand PR for herself. Like, that totally mandatory. But, like, the fact that she had to do it because she was mentioned is what stinks. Like, and she's so young. Like,
yeah, she's like, really young, guys. That really struck me.
Imagine being bullying her online, like, for
this. Because her dad's an asshole.
I'm like, now you're taking it too far. This is where the internet to me is, like, really scary. I'm like,
well, it's tough because, yeah. And then on the other side, it's like, man, the creator's a crybaby. It's like, it's tough. And then you're having to grapple with both sides at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
So, yeah. It seems like her dad has been a big problem for her whole life. Like, you could tell the part where you can tell she's getting emotional is when she's saying, like, when we and my family deal with him, we know how to deal with it. And her saying, like, my dad doesn't know how to regulate his emotions. I was like, this guy has been fucking with her bag for a long time. And this is in the sense of ruining your mental health is fucking with your bag too.
Yeah,
like,
it's of like, course.
Wow, you did this shit in public. You threw my name out there. Now it's like, you fucked up for your job, but now I have to make a video and people are coming to me. And, like, this girl is young. It's probably, I mean, I just feel bad for her. I do think she had to make the video, but I feel bad for her.
And no, it's also just like, you know, maybe it was something where her whole family kind of let the dad slide or never said anything, never confronted. And it's like, but this shit is like, it's kind of both ways where we talk about, like, people in the home and people out there. It's so interesting because, like, yeah, you can't be treating everybody the way you treat your family. And if your family doesn't correct you, like, it may be easier as a family member to not say something because for the peace, but they will go out and do it and it'll come back to you in some ways. So
you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And again,
it's a good learning lesson.
It's a good learning lesson for everybody. Don't fuck up your daughter's bag because you're an asshole.
Exactly. And again, she's like so young that I'm like, this is a very intense way to learn a lesson that a lot of people learn on a much lower level, which is you have to say something to your shitty dad because otherwise I feel like the normal version of that is like you're at a restaurant and he's being a dick.
Yeah.
Just interpersonally to the waitress. And you're like, I need to say something. But this is like, it happened in a massive way.
I hate that too. But the final thing though is like these people, probably her dad is like, what, maybe like Gen X or something. I'm like, when are y'all going to realize like, everything that you do, if it's not being filmed, it's going to be talked about on film. Like, if it's not like you being out in the world is like, you can't just like, we're holding people accountable now and it's going to keep happening. And I just don't understand like what these people don't, even if you're
and you invited
an
influencer,
like,
it's tough.
Hide it.
Well, it's tough because that is something that we're gripping with and that people are uncomfortable with about the reality now is that there is no privacy. Like, we talk about data breach, like, with the T app, it's like, it's sad that that's even though we're trying to, like, be like, the T app is not that bad because you can get your data breached. Like, that is a sad reality of now. And the other sad reality now is that there is no public or private sphere anymore. Like, everything is either talked about, whatever. So it's like, we are constantly under surveillance of each other.
Yeah.
And in that way, in some ways, it's bad and scary and not fair and not right. And I understand older people like not loving it. But in another way, it's like, yeah, you're not going to get away with shit anymore. Like, you can't own a restaurant if you're a dick. Yeah. Or maybe you can, but.
And you're going to show up on a women's dating site if you're a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of sad realities.
Yes.
Things that make us feel bad, troubled, unsettled. Yes. It is time for our final segment, Grasshole of the Week. Savelle, this is our segment where we name one person who needs to log off the most, rethink what they are putting out online.
Someone needs to go touch grass.
Regroup. Now, there's a case to be made that Kiss Cafe needs to go touch grass, certainly.
Yeah.
There's a case to be made. But this person, I'm not going to say it's worse, but I am going to say that they're a bigger grasshole this week in the sense that the implications of what they're doing reach into more disturbing territory even.
Outside of the Bay Area food scene.
Outside of the Bay. Yeah, this goes beyond the Bay Area food scene. Okay, this week's grasshole is a musician, a singer-songwriter by the name of Jesse Murph. Have either of you ever heard the name Jesse Murph?
No, but I've seen I peeked the doc and
you're aware of what's going on here. Have you ever heard of Jesse Murph?
No.
Okay. Quick overview. I had never heard of Jesse Murph. And just like to head this off, I'm going to tell this story in like the way that the information came to me.
It's important.
And then I will make sure you guys know the actual timeline and order of events. But Jesse Murph, who was born in the year 2004,
Jesus,
she's 20 years old, is a country musician, but she also kind of raps. She's in like...
rap people, again, country people love rapping now. It's a thing.
Yes. So she's in that kind of space.
Country rap is a huge thing.
She's in the country rap. Yes. We'll get very familiar with her aesthetic, but she's in a country rap space. She was discovered on YouTube and TikTok. She currently has 11.4 million TikTok followers and 1 million YouTube subscribers. So she's doing just fine. She's basically had like a pretty good hit single, not like a top 10 but some have broken like a top 20s hit single every year since 2021. She's worked with Diplo, Lil Baby, Maren Morris, Gucci Mane, Teddy Swims, Sexy Red, and others. So it's kind of an eclectic group of people she's working with. But like the TLDR, she's an up-and-coming singer-songwriter in the country rap space. She has released one mixtape called Drowning in 2023 and two studio albums, the second of which, Sex Hysteria, is at the center of what we are talking about today. So nice. She just released her second album. It is called Sex Hysteria. And the way that this story came to me is that I was looking at the Go Touch Grass Twitter trying to find grassholes for this week's episode. And I saw this tweet. First, this is Jesse Murph.
It's giving Dolly Parton, but like not.
Yeah.
It's giving toddlers and tiaras.
It is giving toddlers and tiaras. Because, she has big hair. Yeah. She's very young. She's very tiny. There's something going on where it's like she's trying to be Kacey Musgraves. She's trying to be
because she's very prominently like brunette, which I feel like we don't really associate this big hair with being a brunette.
Yes, but yeah, exactly. She's doing something.
She's doing here. Something.
She's doing something.
It's
is
also
it good?
Giving Jersey Mom Judice.
Yes. Yeah.
What's her name?
Teresa Judice.
Okay.
Teresa,
so this is perfect. So this is the tweet that I saw that sparked me to look into Miss Jesse Murph. This is a tweet from Uncle Twirl. It says, get Tradwife Snooki Winehouse off my timeline expeditiously.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so looking back at the image, Tradwife Snooki Winehouse is kind of exactly in the pocket.
And what's Tradwife, Elise?
What's Tradwife about her, you may ask, other than just the general vibe.
And Tradwife is traditional wife.
Which is it's an online culture of idealizing this like conservative, traditional values shit for women.
Like making shit from scratch.
1950s aesthetic. And it kind of veers into right-wing politics. We have a whole Patreon episode about it, but Tradwife is the name for that aesthetic. So she started going viral on Twitter because after the release of her album Sex Hysteria, she went and performed a single from that album on Jimmy Fallon. That single is called 1965. And we are going to have to watch kind of a good amount of it because there are lyrics throughout that are disturbing.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is that Fallon performance.
Work has changed. It's a great time to be in love.
Studies are now saying that cigarettes are recommended and women belong in the kitchen. You go to church on a Sunday, wake up on Monday. You go to work and I'd stay home and sing and do fun things. I might get a little slap slap, but you wouldn't hit me on Snapchat. Don't text me at 2 a.m. saying where you at, boy. You'd handwrite me letters when you went away. You make me feel better, you know what to say. Maybe you'd still be a hoe, but if you cheated, hell, I wouldn't know. I want you to love me.
So just to reiterate, the chorus of the song is, I want you to love me like it's 1965. I want you to want me. I think I'd give up a few rights if you would love me like it's 1965. There's a line up top, which, like, I do hate reading lyrics out loud. It makes me feel like I'm like Tipper Gore in the 90s. Like,
oh,
but it's important to that we have to. You have to read
the lyrics.
I read
the lyrics to Don't Take My Son.
I know. You have to read them out loud sometimes. But there's a lyric right up top where she says, I might get a little slap slap, but you wouldn't hit me on Snapchat.
Yeah, so I saw that. I heard that. I was like, what?
And there's a lyric later in the song where she says, I would be 20 and it'd be acceptable for you to be 40. And that is fucked up, I know. But it's her, like, idealizing age gap stuff. So, okay. What is your reaction to the song and performance, 1965, by Jesse Murph?
I feel like a lot of things, right? I feel like I guess the sentiment is like, modern dating sucks. I want to go back to classic dating.
Kind of,
and
yeah.
I want you to love me in the classic way. Before Jim Crow was ended. And like, I'd give up a few rights. I think about that, right? Because Roe v. Wade was passed in 1973, but then it got taken away in 2023. So I'm like, technically we are kind of in 1965 in many ways. Yeah. We can have a credit card now, but there's a lot of anywhere she's hanging out, she probably can't get an abortion.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because it's this trad wife thing and she's kind of singing. It's interesting because the people on stage, she had three dancers on stage that were like multi-ethnic, and then she was singing kind of in a black scent, and then they went away, and then there's like this white guy who
frolicking
in the back, dancing very old school style, and then her singing transitioned to that old school style. There's some weird things happening.
There's some weird things happening.
Okay, if we're just looking at like music quality and just talking about like my first impression of that, I'm like, okay, it's interesting to like blend country with this sort of more R&B vibe. But my issue with that is that like the country scene notoriously doesn't allow black artists to like participate become qualified as country. Like, for example, Lil Nas X is like pushed out of being
Beyonce,
country.
Yeah.
Like, so if that's not going to be labeled as country and you're not going to accept black artists into your community, of course, like, why are we going to sit here and be like, fine, I'm going to support the white woman that's doing like a black sound, like you said, and then like also doing country with it. It's weird that you can do that. It's like they get to do what they want to do, but they're not going to include people of color in their community. So that's my first problem. Then the second problem is like, I think the messaging is terrible. Yeah. Like, the messaging is horrifying. Like, she's got 11.1 million followers, and you're literally telling people, I'll give up a few of my rights. Like, in this economy where we're in right now, where our rights are being taken, whether or not you want to give them up.
Yeah.
Like, how can you possibly be putting this out there? But again, her demographic and like where she's coming from, the people that like her, they're going to be like, amen.
Okay. So, both. You guys reacted similarly to how I reacted when I saw that. I also thought it was funny. Like, we had an episode a couple episodes back. We were talking about Sabrina Carpenter's album cover and controversy around that. And I'm like, this is what the most fervent Sabrina Carpenter haters are, like, accusing Sabrina Carpenter of. And Sabrina Carpenter actually is, like, funny and interesting. And this is
not.
Okay. So I'm going to show you guys some reactions that I saw online. Immediately, people are retweeting it. We've got Jesse Murph is what happens when someone born in 2005 is not exposed to music history. Me knowing Jesse Murph is a right-wing propagandist industry plant, but not being able to prove it. Jesse Murph performing 1969 to national television is a prime, and I mean prime, indicator of a cultural shift into fascism. So people are immediately like, this is not good that this is like on the fucking Tonight Show right now. But at the same time, we get the classic response. It's satire, they cry. Yeah, it's satire.
Satire.
If you're pissed off about Jesse Murph, A, you've never listened to her music, and B, you don't understand satire, and 3, you don't realize she's a young woman who at the age of 20 doesn't think like a 45-year-old housewife. No, I'm not outraged. And then this is another person. It's literally a satire of the idealization of the 60s in regards to treatment of women. Heartbreak. So we've had this discussion so many times on the pod, but I guess we'll have to have it again. Simply intending to be funny does not make something satire. Like, I don't think the line, I could get a little slap slap, but you won't hit me on Snapchat, is not supposed to be a joke. But is that a good joke? Is that a funny joke? What's that a joke about? Who's that joke directed towards? That's maybe, not satire.
Maybe we need a new segment called Satire Watch or Joke Watch. People are using joke and satire, and these words have no meaning anymore. Mm-mm. They, no one knows what it is. No one knows what it means. And it's a fucking problem, because how is this satire? If she was delivering it cheeky or something, or if she killed somebody at the end, because that's also the whole point, is like sometimes these women will do these like trad wife thing and then someone dies at the end or something, which is
there
kind
has
of
to be
a,
an inversion of expectations or something. Like,
if
you're
she was like cooking on a set in a kitchen and like being like, I'm a housewife and whatever, and we could come along with you on this ride of like you're setting up that you're like making a message, you know what I mean? There's no message there except for the things that you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, is like, no, you are, I don't think the song is meant to be taken dead seriously, but just because you're making jokes doesn't mean it's satire. You know what I mean?
Like, I didn't get satire at all. Like,
no, I know.
It's not.
I'm like, because I take it seriously that she's like, oh, I want you to love me. Like, it's whatever. I'm going to give up my rights. I heard that and I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Also, too, just to say that, like, we're talking about her aesthetic. Every single thing that she has that big ass hair and that, like, kind of classic look. So if it was just for this one performance of the song where she leaned into that classic look, but regularly she has a pixie cut, okay, then we can understand like all this stuff. But like, that's kind of her look all the time. And especially like, we don't know her. Like, we don't know her.
No.
For a fucking bag of paint.
Like, you know, I mean, I hate to bring this as an example, but like Taylor Swift, like she'll say one thing and then show you another.
Yeah, in the music
video.
And it's
very clear. And like her artistic style is like, you know, not for everybody, but it's like, at least I understand what she's doing. When she dresses up like a guy in a full suit and pretends to be a man to make a point about something, and the whole time you didn't know it was her in the video, at the end of that video, I'm like, oh, wow, that was a really interesting take.
So that's the thing, is like when we're talking about an inversion of expectations, like, that's the thing, is there's a flip. It's like, oh my God, that was her the whole time. Like, there's something in it that makes you zoom out and realize, oh, this thing, we're actually commenting on this thing. We're actually making fun of this thing. That never happens in this performance, and it never happens in the accompanying music video for this single. So obviously I see this. I start reading the commentary. I'm like, you know what? Let me give some credence to the idea that maybe it is satire. Maybe I don't know Jesse Murph. I don't know about Jesse Murph. I want to do my research. I want to do my due diligence.
We try to look at both sides here.
Exactly. So, okay. We basically, now we'll get into the actual timeline. So Sex Hysteria is released on July 18th. This also comes out at the same time as a music video, which we will talk about in 1 second. The reaction to this music video, also negative, prompts Murph to respond on TikTok on July 19th with this TikTok. So I just did a screenshot. We're not watching anything because it's literally just the sound of the song, the slap, slap line in the song. And it's her pretending to get slapped. That's what this is a screenshot of. And then the text of it says, the entire song is satire. Are y'all stupid?
Wow.
So then
handle it.
Next post. So this is the comments. People are like, it's not, you're just embarrassed now. She's saying it's satire because of how much hate she's getting. Me when I'm getting hate, so now I gotta say it's rage bait. doubling back and calling it satire because you're getting hate is crazy. And then the last one is like, guys, it's just a joke. It's just a joke. So people clock this pretty much immediately.
Listen, the TikTok community and the commenters now, like, people have an eye, and as much as there's misinformation, people will call out. Like, there is some kind of distinguishing, especially on TikTok where audiences skew younger. People will not let you get away with shit.
And so, like, we're not going to watch the music video that she released to this because we already just listened to the song once. But the video is of her as a housewife whose husband is cheating on her. And he's, like, significantly older. It's that weird, like, 40-20 age gap thing. There's a point in the music video where she walks in on him having genuinely graphic, full nude sex where they keep the, like slapping sounds. It's actually, it's quite shocking. And I was like, well, there's no way for me to show it to you guys where I don't just show you porn during the podcast. So just take my word for
it.
And
Elise said no when I try to do it. So
actually, Instagram said no.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, I was joking. But yeah, no, we got in trouble. I was sharing Drake's nude. Yeah. Okay. All right. I made one mistake. People wanted our fans, talking about community, our fans wanted, I talked about Drake's nude and people were like, I want to see it. And I linked it and okay, we got in trouble. We got a strike against us, whatever. But people needed to see his long, skinny dick.
Anyway. And you know what? We put it all out there for the fans. But I was like, I don't know. Anyway, just understand that graphic doggy style sex happens in the music video. And it also features this imagery of a woman whose back has been beaten up and it has American flag markings. And then she's tied up.
Oh, my God, hilarious. So funny.
It's a woman whose back has been beaten up and, like, she
has...
That's satire. So I'm like, okay, what's the satire? So that music video comes out. She goes on... Everyone sees it and they're like, what the fuck? She goes on TikTok and is like, it's satire. She goes on Jimmy Fallon and that comes out and people, now her little fans are going, it's satire. She's already said it's satire. So that's like the actual order of operations. Also on July 21st, which is the same day, Millie's birthday. It was released on Millie's birthday. It was released for, the Fallon performance was in honor of Millie's birthday.
Yeah. And I'll say, what happened to my birthday last year? Joe Biden dropped out.
Yeah, so something always happens.
Happen wow. on my birthday.
Something happens on July 21st. So also, this popular YouTuber called August the Duck, that's whose picture I have here. Yeah, this is August the Duck.
I like it.
This is a new white guy haircut.
This is a new white guy haircut. And you know what? I will say, I watched all of August the Duck's video and I think he's on the right side.
Oh,
I don't know if I would say I'd smash. I would not smash.
He exists in a genre. No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He exists in a genre
that piques my interest, certainly.
Yes.
There are some indicators here. but he deconstructed this video on his like very popular YouTube channel. And the video is called This Music Video Should Not Be on YouTube. That has 365,000 views in the last week. And his thing is mainly focused on that, like, YouTube's content moderation is really weird. And like, if he as a YouTuber posted graphic doggy style full nude sex with the slapping, he would get in trouble. But she's able to post it as a music video and like, it's fine. But he also talks about the bad messaging of the song and all of the other context. But that's like,
is he just mad that he can't post porn? Or does he have something to say
he
about
also
women's
says,
rights?
He also says that the like content of the song is very bad. But like,
if I posted joggy style nude of me and the host of Goat Touch Grass, I would. Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we could post that. Or, I don't know.
I'm not the one getting us banned for porn anymore.
I'm just saying. Well, he would post it on his page.
Yeah.
He's
okay,
the one with the
collab.
We'd collab. What's his name? Duck what? August the Duck. Call me.
Come on the pod,
August the Duck. Talk to us about like what YouTube like allows or like what they don't like allow.
Listen,
you to
we're micro influencers, but.
Anyway,
okay, so you
that is the timeline, the order of operations. Also on Millie's birthday, also on July 21st, she does an interview with Teen Vogue where she says, and this is never good to have to say. No. I'm going to blank. Once I tell you what she said, this is never good to have to clarify. But she does say, on the record, I love rights.
Bro, which ones?
And she
all
does,
of them.
All of them.
She does clarify later. She says bodily rights specifically. And it's like,
But so, whose body?
Well, number one, yeah. But it's also like, okay, so you're singing about losing rights. You're referencing a right that was actually lost, but you're saying that you don't support the loss of that right. But there's also nothing in your song that actually indicates that you don't just feel the way that you're singing about. So for all these reasons, and for the crime of laundering tradwife ideology into a pop song and then trying to claim it's satire on TikTok, we have to say, Jesse Merv,
go touch grass. I will also say, I was like, go touch grass for that bad weave. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah. Any final thoughts? And then we'll end this episode. Sabelle, you've been an amazing guest. God.
I was about to like scream that with y'all. I knew we all were going to say that. You better.
Yep.
That makes sense. I love how you wrapped that all up.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, that's just a whirlwind. Thank you for introducing me to the world of Jesse Merv.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to.
She's hilarious. You have to watch out.
You got to look at her satire.
Yeah. Yeah. She might be taking Watch Out Mormon sketch club. They're
you
gonna
got
start,
Jesse Merv on your radar.
Yeah, satire, yeah. Hilarious.
There's a new musical comedy.
Hilarious.
Yeah. If people want to check out your satire, Sabelle, where can people find your content? Follow you.
My stuff is not a satire. It's actually 100%
dead ass true.
Yeah. So you can follow me at Sabelle. That's S-I-B-E-L _ Damar. Apparently there were a couple more that they were taken, which is crazy because I'm like, I don't know people named Sabelle. So yeah, at Sabelle Damar on all channels, TikTok, YouTube, Insta.
Beautiful. That's beautiful to have it all. And actually we have it all.
Yeah, we have it all.
Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. That's where you can follow us. I personally do not have it all. You can follow me at Pandalese on Instagram and at Elise Navidad on TikTok.
Yes, I also do not have it all because you can follow me on Instagram at Millie_Tamarez and on TikTok at Millie_Tamarez. But on Twitter, I am at Millie Tamarez.
All right, guys. Thank you for another amazing episode. Sabelle, you were an amazing guest.
Thank you, guys.
And until next time, go touch grass.
Go Touch Grass is created and hosted by Elise Morales and Millie Tamarez.
Recording and sound production by My Friend's Basement Studio. And our theme song is by Doug Weidick.